السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رجلا جاء إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: إن شرائع الإسلام قد كثرت علي، فأمرني بشيء أتشبث به. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. رواه الترمذي رحمه الله تعالى. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has placed two qualities within every human. Every sane human has two qualities which are in his nature, and in his nature from when he is a child. And what are these two qualities? The first quality is this desire and this zeal to gain anything that is that a person thinks is beneficial, that a person thinks is good for him. This quality is in the nature of the human, right from when he is a child. The baby cries for food, for milk. Allah Ta'ala has placed it in its nature that what it needs, what it deems is beneficial, it desires it. It can't move, it can't speak, but still it makes its desire for what it needs and what it thinks is beneficial apparent. This is one quality which Allah Ta'ala has kept in a person, in every human, every sane human. And the second quality is that the human, he tries to repel, he tries to stay away from that which he thinks is harmful for himself. This again, right, a young child, when it understands that something is harmful for it, whether it is an animal, whether it is anything else, it is an automatic reaction. You can say these two qualities are almost instincts. They happen automatically. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and He knew that these two qualities are within us, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in encouraging us, in getting us to practice His deen, in making us practice His deen, making us traverse the path to success by being obedient to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions virtues of actions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions warnings for evil actions. He mentions virtues for actions because He knows it is in a person's nature that when he hears something is beneficial for him, he wants it. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says about salah that one virtue of salah is that a person's sustenance is made easy for him. Allah ta'ala knows that the human, he will hear this and he will understand, this is beneficial for me, I need to acquire it. So as a result, he will come closer to salah. And similarly, Allah Ta'ala knows that the human, whenever he finds out anything is harmful, it is in his natural reaction to try his best to stay away from it. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions
That the person who misses his salah, this will be his punishment. He will be in Jahannam for this many years. Why? Again, Allah Ta'ala knows that when my servant hears this, then his automatic reaction will be that I need to stay away from this. And as a result, he will go perform his salah. All the warnings in the Quran and the Ahadith are not because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is trying to scare us. No, they are because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He wants us to be successful. And He knows we have this quality within us that if the human, when he hears something which is harmful for him, then he tries to stay away from it. It is just like the parent who tells his young child that, look, after 10 o'clock, don't go outside. And he warns the child that, look, if you go outside, then you know anything could happen. It is dark at night, safety. So no one will say that the parent is cruel, the parent is trying to scare the child. No, everyone will say the parent has love for the child. And for the child's success and for the child's benefit, the parent is warning the child. So it is the same with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Whether it is the horrible descriptions of the grave, of Jahannam, or the specific punishment for any action, these are all mentioned so that we, through our nature, we try to stay away from these. And as a result, we become successful. That is why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in Surah Al-Rahman, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions many of His blessings, His bounties, His favors upon us. The creation of the sun, the creation of plants, the creation of ships, etc., etc. And every few verses Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which means that which of my favors are the humans and the jinn going to reject? Can they reject? Meaning, my favors are so clear for them that they cannot reject them. They should admit them, and as a result, they should utilize them and they should be grateful to me. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He mentions a few blessings. That Allah Subhanahu Allamahu al-Bayan, Allah Ta'ala taught the human to express himself. He created the sun, the moon as a means of timekeeping, etc. Then, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which of my favors can the humans and the jinn deny? Meaning they cannot deny them, they are so clear. A few more favors, again, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. A few more favors, again, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. But going on ahead, a portion in the surah comes where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala begins describing Jahannam. يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. The criminals, the mujrimeen, those who have disobeyed Allah Ta'ala, they will be recognized through the faces, through the markings. فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ, they will be grabbed by the hair and by the feet, and they will be dragged into Jahannam. And it will be said to them, هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي يُكَذِّبُ بِهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, this is the Jahannam, this is the punishment which you aren't ready to believe in. يَطُوفُونَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ حَمِيمٍ آن, the people in Jahannam, they will be in Jahannam in the raging fire. And then another form of punishment will be Hamim in An, boiling hot water. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions the punishment. And then after that, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala again says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which of my favors can you deny? Meaning you cannot deny any of them. So the commentators of the Quran have raised the question that in the beginning when Allah of the surah, when Allah Ta'ala was mentioned in favors, He was mentioning He created the sun, He gave the insan the ability to express himself, He created plants. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which of my favors can they deny? That makes sense. But after the description of Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which favor is being mentioned here? Jahannam is being mentioned, the punishment of Allah. So the commentators have given the answer that Allah Ta'ala mentioning Jahannam to us is a favor. Because He mentions Jahannam to us, making its horrors very clear so that we stay away from it and we become successful. So it is in fact His favor that He is mentioning Jahannam. And that is why He is saying, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, that this is my favor also. So we need to We should take benefit from this. Virtues. Look. Everything has benefits and harms. Everything that, there's many things that from a worldly point of view, they benefit you and they harm you. Wealth, worldly point of view, it benefits you. Food, worldly point of view, benefits you. And many things from a worldly point of view are harmful. And similarly, there are things that for a person's deen and for a person's hereafter, they are beneficial, and things that are harmful. And there are many things that are beneficial for a person's world, but harmful for a person's hereafter. Taking money through haram income, it is beneficial from a person's world, but it is harmful for a person's hereafter. And the benefit in this world is always very small compared to the harm in the hereafter. Why? Simple reason. The world is temporary. So even if you gain so much money through haram means, or any other benefit, so much money to last your entire life is temporary, 60, 70 years, 100 years max. And the hereafter is permanent. So you gain this much benefit for the hereafter, but that much benefit, that handful of benefit will remain with you forever. So the benefit of this world is always small compared to the harm in the hereafter. So there are many actions, the disobedience of Allah, which apparently have benefits in this world, but they have harms in the hereafter. But we live in this world. So the benefits of this world are always in front of us. The benefits of this world are always in front of us. If I misuse my gaze, I will gain a benefit. I will gain a moment of pleasure. The benefit of this world, it is in front of us. The harm of the displeasure of Allah, which will come back to haunt us in the hereafter, is not in front of us. If I oppress this person, I raise a hand against this person, there's a benefit in this world. Whatever the benefit is, maybe I can let out my anger. Maybe it is a case of I can show my supremacy. Whatever it is. But there is a harm in the hereafter that you are gaining the displeasure of Allah and His punishment. But that harm is not in front of our eyes. So the benefit is in front of our eyes and the harm is not in front of our eyes. So there is an imbalance. The worldly benefit is in front of us. The deeni and the harm of the hereafter is not in front of us. So to bring this into balance, a person needs to regularly read the warnings and the benefits of the hereafter. The ahadith of virtues, the ahadith of warnings. That is why the ulama have made so much effort compiling them. The likes of Shaykhul Hadith Hazim Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has compiled Fada'ilul Amal. Open at the back of Fada'ilul Amal, open the bibliography, the list of books that Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has benefited from to write that book. And you will understand how much effort has been made to compile that book. Why? So that these books of Fada'il are not to be read once and we've read it and we've got the information. No. These books are to be read time and time again. So that just like the benefits of the disobedience of Allah, worldly benefits keep coming in front of us. At the same time, as a result of reading these books, the harms of the disobedience of Allah will keep coming in front of us. We live in this world, so the benefit of staying asleep at the time of Fajr comes in front of us all the time. Bit of relaxation, bit of enjoyment. And the harm, it is a long way away in the hereafter. It is not in front of us. We can't see it. But when we start reading these books regularly, then at the same time the benefit will come to mind, the harm will also come to mind. Now there is a balance. Now a person will walk around with having both in mind. And then when both are in mind, he will compare both. And of course he will realize that I am better off sacrificing this small benefit and avoiding that great harm. So these books, a very easy place to start is Fada'ilul Amal, Fada'ilul Sadaqat. Because I am mentioning these books because they are in every home, alhamdulillah. And if they are not, they are very easy to acquire. And they know every language as well, Urdu, English, whatever other language a person, they translate it into so many languages. These should be read regularly. Every home should have a time, a fix, whether it is 5 minutes a day, where one of these books is picked up and this is read from. Whatever can be read in 5 minutes. And over time you will definitely see the benefits, inshallah. So, my purpose, the purpose of today's talk was not to mention this. But this is a very important point. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa. And according to the unanimous opinion of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the second most virtuous Sahabi, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the most virtuous Sahabi, and Umar radiallahu anhu, the second most virtuous Sahabi. So after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is demised, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu becomes Khalifa. Then after him, Umar radiallahu anhu becomes Khalifa, the leader of the Mu'mineen. And then after Umar radiallahu anhu, sometime later, the Khilafah, the leadership role, swaps. And later down the line, a time comes when Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, he is in his middle ages, in his 30s, 40s, whatever. And someone is in the role of Khilafah and leadership. And people are dispute. There is a bit of a dispute in the Muslim Ummah. I don't wish to go into the details. But there is a bit of a dispute in the Muslim Ummah regarding this person who is in the leadership role. And in that time, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu has long passed away now. But Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he had a lot of popularity and a lot of following. So there was a bit of dispute, a bit of unease about this person who is sitting. He was a Sahabi as well. And there are reasons for this dispute, we are not going into them. But there was a bit of a dispute and some unease as regards to this person being the Khalifa and the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So people were encouraging Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that, you know, why don't you stand up and stake a claim for Khilafah? And people will follow you because you are very popular. But Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he understood that this is not something Sharia encourages. That situation is created where there is a difference of opinion and where disputes arise. Without necessity, Deen hates disputes. Let me give you a very simple example. This is something which we have stopped practicing upon, and because of this, so many disputes arise. Let us say, for example, it's a very simple example because we are in the masjid. There is the masjid committee and they are deciding who the chairman is. And as for here, this is the committee, and as for here, we think that Hafiz Hussain should be the chairman, for example. And the rest of the brothers think Ibrahim Bey should be the chairman. However it ends up, but the other half of the opinion, and Ibrahim becomes the chairman. Now there are two situations. One is that the Azfa who disagree with this opinion, we make a big fuss of it, and we split. No, we go our own way. Either we are having Hafiz Hussain as the chairman, or no, we are not prepared to accept. This is one option. And the other option is that we look at Ibrahim and we think that, okay, he's not the best choice option, but it's fine. We'll go along with it. He will be able to do what he needs to do. In this second situation, there will be a lot more benefit. But for this second situation, we have to let our opinion go. We cannot remain stubborn. That our opinion is what must be practiced upon. No, our opinion is that Hafiz Hussain should become the chairman, so he must become the chairman. Until stubbornness remains and arrogance remains, unity will never be created. For unity, there needs to be compromise. And for compromise, someone needs to let go of his opinion. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu understood this. He understood that there is a bit of unease about who is the Khalifa, who is the Amir al-Mu'mineen. But if I stand up, and I may have a lot of following, but it will end up in a dispute which will have much greater harms for the Muslim Ummah. So okay, maybe the person in the seat is not the best person, but he is doing a decent job, he is still running it, doing the necessities. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he refused. But these rumors reach the current Khalifa as well. And one day he stood up in a speech. And he stood up and he gave a speech. And in his speech he said that neither Abdullah ibn Umar nor his father is more worthy of the Khilafah role than I. They are more suitable for the role of Khilafah and for the role of the Amirul Mu'mineen than I. He said this. Now Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they did not have a great opinion of themselves. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu never thought that I am so suitable for Khilafah. But regarding his father, it was a unanimous opinion of the Muslim Ummah that he is the second most virtuous person. So the person who is currently Amirul Mu'mineen is saying that neither Abdullah ibn Umar nor his father is more deserving of being Amir than I. So this hurt Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, especially the words against his father. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrating this, he thought that in my mind the answer came, an answer which would shut up the Amir, which would shut him up completely. He said, I had that answer, it came to mind at that moment. But he said that I knew that if I mentioned the answer, a dispute will happen. Two parties, one party will become with me, one party with the... So he said, I stayed quiet. And what does he mention? How did I control myself? How did I control my anger in that moment? He said, فَرَأَيْتُ مَا فِي الْجِنَانِ. I started thinking about, if I control my anger, what will be waiting for me in Jannah? What if I control my anger? If I take this hit in this world, that I have to control my anger, what will be waiting for me in the hereafter? Why was he able to do this? Because the hereafter was in front of him, it was in here. When the hereafter is in here, then when a decision comes, then the benefit of the hereafter and the benefit of this world will come in front of a person. So this was not my purpose today, but this is something very beneficial. A very easy action. 5 minutes every day, who can... And if a person thinks 5 minutes every day is difficult, then say 5 minutes every other day. And start with fadail al-amal, fadail al-sadaqat, both are filled with the virtues of and warnings about the hereafter. And just read. You might not see a benefit on day one, day two. Over time you will see this. This reading has been going on for 2-3 weeks. And the next time the crunch comes to disobey Allah Ta'ala, to gain some worldly benefit or to gain the hereafter, then inshallah the hereafter will come in your head as well. And this is the beginning point to you giving up your desires of this world to benefit for the hereafter. We will stop on this point inshallah. And the original topic, which was the importance of the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, we will mention next week inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring this action into our life. If this action can happen as a family, it is fantastic. But this action cannot happen as a family, then a person should start himself. الله سبحانه وتعالى يجزاهم التوفيق في practice من this. آمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.